I named this sermon Heartburn, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. The Bible says that people perish without a vision. And so I believe a vision is a vehicle for the Holy Spirit to work. If we don't have a vision, if we're not involved in setting goals and heading somewhere, what's the Holy Spirit going to use, right? He uses people, right? He uses people. So a vision is a vehicle for the Holy Spirit to work. John came preaching and baptizing. That was his kind of methodology. That was his calling. Jesus came preaching, healing, doing miracles. We see the apostles came preaching, healing, miracles, and doing something else. They began to plant churches. And so a church vision is the medium in which the Holy Spirit will do his work. So this is just leading up to an announcement. So next Saturday, January 4th, from 9 to 12, we're going to meet in the upper sanctuary. And we're going to be putting a defining touch on our vision. We're going to be doing action steps. We're going to set some timetables. It's going to be a planning time. It's not a debate, because we've already set our vision in place, and now we're going to figure out how that is going to take place. So if you would like to join us next Saturday from 9 to 12 on the 4th, please come for a time of dreaming and brainstorming. So the new year is about evaluating the past and setting goals for the new year. It's more than resolutions. And I looked up online, I began to wonder, how long do resolutions usually last? And so I came up with some different websites that kind of gave me some ideas. It says, most resolutions last from 17 to 18 days. That's a long time, isn't it? I like this one. 9% of Americans accomplish their resolution in a year. Wow. 9%. That means 1 out of 10. And we usually run just over 100 here, so that's 10 out of 100 of our congregation will actually what? Follow through on a resolution. Another one said, research goes on to show that 23% of people quit their resolution by the end of the first week. And 43% quit by the end of January. So today I'm not encouraging resolutions here today. But what I would like to do is, as we set goals, as if you're going to set a New Year's resolution, we want to set some goals that start at a time of change or need. So we're not doing it because it's a fun thing to do, it's a silly thing to do, it's what everybody does, but what we want to do is we want to start a resolution or goals or a vision for our lives because we need a change in our lives, or there's a need for a change in our life. And so the second thing they said in this article was to expect obstacles. How many have ever set a goal and ran into some obstacles, right? And so we're familiar with that. The third thing was set goals into challenging, measured, but smaller chunks. And the last one was accountability. How many know sometimes we need to be accountable to somebody? It could be a family member, a friend. It could be a group. It could be, how many know we have technology that kind of helps us? Right? There's things on there on your phone and on your watches that can help us reach those goals. Or you can have a coach or a mentor. And so we're going to get back to that here towards the end of the message. So I want to begin here by starting in Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist gave us the best insight when it comes to spiritual achievement, to spiritual success. And he says here in this scripture, Matthew is writing John's words. He said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You know, there's a lot of people that attend church, especially at this season. But what we do know is that there are wheat and there is chaff in the church. And it's not our job as believers today to kind of divide that up, figure out which is which. But how many know there is going to be a day? There is going to be a day when God himself, Jesus Christ, divides the wheat from the chaff. And a lot of people think they're safe, but let me repeat the words of Keith Green, who said, when you walk into McDonald's, what? It doesn't make you a hamburger, right? Just because you walk into a church doesn't mean that you are a Christian. So why not start the new year with a renewal of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire? Isn't that a good place to start? So in Matthew chapter 3, we see three distinct baptisms. We see the baptism of water. We see the baptism of water is what? It's an identification. It is a commitment. It is a dedication. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is an introduction to a person who will be our helper, our counselor, our comforter. And it is a place where we submit ourselves, our will, to his will. And then there is the baptism of fire. And so that's where I want to talk about here a little bit here today, the baptism of fire. Fire is an obvious sign of God's involvement. How many know fire always has a sign that there's something going on? I don't know. I have never seen a fire without smoke. I've never seen fire that didn't produce heat or light. So there's always evidence that there is a fire going on. But fire is often an outward sign of an inward work. And so we want to see God's involvement, and we want to see some signs this year of God working among us. Hebrews 12:29 says, "For our God is a consuming what? Fire." He is a consuming fire. He wants to consume our lives. He wants every aspect of our life. He wants to consume it. He wants to be part of it. He wants to be lead in it. I don't know if that was proper English, but you understand. He wants to lead. So we're going to look at that here today. When fire shows up, sometimes it shows up as God's judgment. We see the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see the story that fire and brimstone fell from the sky. We see God's judgment on Israel in the wilderness, where he burned up the outskirts of the camp because of their disobedience, because of their murmuring and complaining. How many like murmuring and complaining? Amen. If we do, guess what? We are going to inherit the judgment of God. Gideon's victory over the Midianites, right? They had trumpets, pitchers, and torches. And so they brought God's judgment to the Midianites. We see Elijah calling judgment down upon Ahab's soldiers. As they came to arrest him, fire came down and burned them up. The Bible talks about hell's punishment. What is it? Fire. It's an eternal fire. In Revelation, it even says it's a lake of fire. It is the final death. So we see fire shows up at God's judgment. We see that James and John wanted to call fire down on the Samaritan village because they refused to accept Jesus. We see Revelation's judgment, the seals, the trumpets, the bowls. A lot of those judgments come with fire, wrapped in fire. And we see that the final destruction of the heaven and earth in the end times will be with fire. The Bible says we do not want to fall into the hands of a what? Angry God. Because he is a consuming fire. So fire shows up sometimes as God's judgment. This is a good sermon. It's not a downer, all right? We're going somewhere here. Fire shows up as God's presence. We see it in Mount Sinai. The mountain was ablaze, right? When the people came to worship God. The completion of the tabernacle and temple. We see the fire came from heaven and lit what? The sacrifice. We see Elijah's sacrifice. The God who answers by fire, he is God. In Leviticus chapter 6, we see a symbolic commandment given to the people of Israel. They were to keep the fire burning on the altar. When they took the tabernacle down, they still kept the fire. They had to transfer the fire there to the next place they were going to camp. So in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "The fire," and let's take this to heart today, "the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out." Let's personalize it here today for us, right? The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offering on it. The fire, again, is repeated, must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. That fire represented the presence of God. And folks, How many know we need a fire burning continually every day in our lives? And of course, we know that the presence of God showed up on the day of Pentecost when the people spoke in tongues and fire was involved in that experience. So we see the fire shows up on God's judgment, fire shows up on God's presence, but fire shows up as God's purifying agent. We knew that the food that the Israelites had to eat, they could not eat the blood, had to be purified with fire. The destruction of idols and cities and fields and livestock, what were destroyed with fire so that there would be no trace of idolatry and that they would not imitate the sacrifices and the idolatry of the other nations. Offerings and sacrifices on the altar, right, had to be purified with fire. We see the Bible says that the separation of dross from the gold and the silver, all right, is purified with fire. The impurities would be taken out. Jesus spoke parables about purification. He talked about the wheats and the tares and the scripture that we had already read. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look what he says here in verse 10. He says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. The builder and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping the flames. So, we see here that what we do here on earth, what is going to last, right? And if we're not, guess what? The only thing we'll be saved will be ourselves. And so, as those who have taken a trip down to North Carolina saw, that people lost absolutely everything, right? But there are going to be people that get to heaven that have lost everything because they didn't do what the Lord had asked them to do. Could you imagine that? Not being able to present anything to the Lord. Losing everything. I can't imagine it here on earth, but I don't even want to imagine what it's going to be like to stand before God and offer him nothing but myself. So that's something to keep in mind as we move forward here today. Lastly, fire shows up as God's guidance. We see it in Samson's parents, as they were kind of figuring out what was going on. They were old, they were barren, and the angel came to Samson's mother. Then he came to the mother and father, and the angel put on a fire show for them to convince them that the promise of Samson was coming. We see Moses in the burning bush. We see in the wilderness the fire by night. And of course, we see on the day of Pentecost, we mentioned it earlier already, a sign to the non-followers of Jesus that a supernatural event has taken place, that they saw fire. And so, again, we look at it. They said they were drunk, but God sent a sign to say, no, has nothing to do with it. So, that's just kind of the foundation. All right. Are you ready? We're going to go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to start with verse 25. And if you're familiar with the two individuals walking down the road of Emmaus, this is on the day of the resurrection. They're following. They're discouraged because the one who promised to be the Messiah, the coming king, is dead in their eyes. And so as they're walking down the road, Jesus shows up and begins to walk with them. And he begins to, as we see in the scripture, we're about ready to pick up, they were discouraged. They told Jesus, hey, the promise that we thought was coming is no longer coming. And so we pick up the story. Then Jesus said to them, How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have, what the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Then the Bible says in verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scripture to us? Usually heartburn is something we don't want to experience. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but it's not a great feeling. And so it usually comes because we eat too much or we eat the wrong foods. And so we're not talking about that kind of heartburn here today, but we're talking about a spiritual heartburn, a fire that should be burning in our hearts constantly. A good habit to establish in our lives is to constantly keep the fire burning on the altar of our hearts enough to give us heartburn. Amen? I'm not going to encourage New Year's resolutions here today, because they usually do not last, as we kind of looked at some of those things. What we want to do here today is to follow the suggestions of those that I read earlier here today. We're going to take that outline and we're going to kind of fill in the gaps here a little bit here today. Because we want to have testimonies. We want to have some commercials at the end of the year of the good things that God has done for us in this past year. So we should always be recalibrating our spiritual routine. How many know that? Because how many know that sometimes they can become a little stale? How many know sometimes we can actually begin to act like a Pharisee a little bit? And so we need to diagnose a little bit here today. And so we do not want to, because we've been serving God, we keep doing the same things the same way. Guess what? Sometimes we can actually quench the fire of God become through repetition. Instead of it being a discipline that's adding to your life, it could be a discipline that subtracts from your life. And that's not what we want to do here. We want to have a positive experience when we come into the presence of God. So we're going to look at this again here today and kind of fill in some holes here today. Kind of as I'm speaking, won't you fill in your own holes here today? Fill in the gaps, all right? The first thing we said was a goal should start at a time of change or need for change. Again, we don't do things because that's what we're supposed to do. The Pharisees were guilty of having rules and regulations. They were guilty of tradition. And so even as Assembly of God individuals, as Pentecostal people, we've created our own rituals that we perform. But we need to escape those things and allow God to do something fresh and something new in our life. So a goal should start at a time of change or need for change. How many know sometimes churches need a change? Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you need a change in your life? Let me give you some examples here today. Most of us are not very good at taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit, all right? We're better at taking care of our relationship with God than we are these physical bodies. And so sometimes what happens is we don't do anything about it until we need to do something about it, until we get a diagnosis, until we get some signal from our body that something's not normal. And so what happens is, what do? We change our diet sometimes. Sometimes we change our habits. Sometimes we change what? What we eat. Very seldom. But we change what we eat sometimes. And so that is a time of change, a need for change in our life. You may go to the doctor and he says you need to do this or you're not going to live very long. Some people choose to do it. Some people will choose not to do it. But that's a signal, a time of change that's needed in life. Some of you reach that age of empty nesters and retirement. How many know at that time of your age that you're no longer spilling out your time and efforts on your family? How many know sometimes it's a time to change, to set new goals for the new life that you're going to live? So there are losses and gains all through the year that produce new challenges that require us to set some goals. Shelby's, you here? I'm going to share a little bit. Shelby shared with us some things last night at our dinner. And she was talking about some of the goals that they had set, some of the things that they wanted to do. There was, what, 4 things that you wanted to do, what, in the next 10 years? Yes. So she made a plan. This is what they were going to do. This was the plan. And so we see here that, how many know? Dick decided to go home. Right? And so what did that do? That changed her direction of her life. Changed some of those goals. And so there are gains and losses. We heard a testimony this morning. We have people in our church that, what? Have a new baby. And how many know that changes the direction sometimes of your life? And so a goal should start at a time of change or need for change in our life. The second thing we talked about was expect obstacles. If you come through life and think that it's going to be a smooth ride, or we present the gospel that if you follow Jesus, everything's going to be better, that's a lie. That is a lie. We are not to present that. Yes, life is supposed to, what? Be abundant. It's supposed to be overcoming. Yes, it's supposed to be victorious. But life is not a smooth ride. And to give people an idea that they won't have any more troubles when they accept Jesus is very deceptive. Be prepared for the hills and the curves that come our way. Folks, we're not called to smell the roses, right? But we're called to what becomes strong in Jesus Christ. He said, in this life you will have what? Trials. You will have tribulations. And he promises us to deliver us from. How many know that? Sometimes he delivers us from. But how many know more often that he delivers us in the midst of our situation? And so we need to keep that in our mind. Expect obstacles. Don't be surprised. He said, don't be surprised what divers, as the King James says, divers temptations, right, will come our way. What is it? It is an opportunity to experience what? It says joy. Count it on joy, right? How many celebrate every time you have a difficult situation? Amen. We don't, do we? But there is this expectation that we should have that when we begin to calibrate our lives and begin to set some goals and begin to go a certain direction that allow the vision to take place in our lives, there's going to be some obstacles that kind of try to take us off track. So, yes, the Bible does say that we are supposed to be stronger. It's supposed to lead to maturity in our lives. So just think about it. It's not why is God doing, but what is God doing when we go through situations. Amen? He's trying to do something in your life. The third thing was set goals in challenging, measured, but smaller chunks. Sometimes we come up with these ideas that kind of are overwhelming. They're ideas that there's no way we're going to accomplish them. If I want to do a marathon next month, even if I started running all January, I wouldn't be ready. I wouldn't be ready for that marathon next month. It just wouldn't happen. And so sometimes we set these goals, we set these ideas in our mind, these goals that are there's no way to reach them. That's why we need to do it in smaller chunks. But not in such a sense that we make them too small that they're easy to accomplish. So there's the challenges that are set before us. We don't want to be overwhelmed, but we don't want to be underwhelmed as well. We all know that you have to crawl before you walk. All right? Sometimes we just need some common sense. But we also need some faith. Amen. And the last one was accountability. We all need friends. We need family. We need an accountability group sometimes. As I said, technology, coach. Let me give you some advice here today. Pick someone you like. Amen. Pick someone you can connect with. All right? And give them permission to speak into your life. How many know you don't want some people speaking into your life? You just don't want it to happen. In our relationship, I'm the nagger. My relationship with my wife, I'm the nagger. And how many of you found out that your spouse runs on a different timetable than you do? Right? And so when something needs to be done, we react differently. We prepare for it differently. But I'm the nagger. And I'm warned pretty often that just step back, get off my case, shut up. Needs to be done, but it will be done in her time. Amen. So we need to pick someone. So my wife wouldn't be a good one. for me. Amen. There's some things that we're in unity on, but there's some things that I would never ask my wife to be accountable with me. Amen. We are going on a cruise, our 35th anniversary cruise, which was 2 years ago. We're going on it this March. And so our goal is, my goal is to sit, to be in a Speedo and hers in a bikini by the time we go on that cruise. Amen. That's one of those overwhelming goals, right? Amen. So we're not good at that. So find someone that you can connect with, someone that you respect, somebody that will actually help you instead of hinder you and make you mad, all right? You want somebody that can encourage you. The other thing is do it with people. Do it with others, right? Sometimes I know Chris and Pastor Whitney, they exercise together. They spur each other on, one more than the other, I think. But again, it's that encouragement. Can I tell on you? Pastor Whitney, I don't know if she would do it if Chris wasn't there to kind of help her along. Amen. All right? Sometimes it pays to do it with somebody. We need help. And so it may be another individual. It may be a group of people that are heading in the same direction. Of course, there's the technology aspect of things. Today we're in that area. The younger generation loves it. There's apps, there's calendars, there's watches, there's phones, there's all kinds of things that can help us along that line to help us move forward, to set goals, set the timetables that we need. And then there's others that will need a coach or a mentor. I tried this with the district for a little bit. But you need to connect with that person that's mentoring you or coaching you. If there's no connection there, you're wasting your money, you're wasting your time, you're wasting whatever. You just got to be, it has to be someone you respect, somebody that maybe is already where you want to go, all right? You don't want to find somebody that's behind you or right beside you. They're not going to help you move forward, but you got to find somebody that will help you. And today, for a lot of people, a church vision can help you shape your personal vision. And so that's the important thing that we want to do in our church is kind of provide that vision so that what you can kind of take part of that vision and be part of the church vision. You can incorporate it in your life. And so it's very important. A church vision can help you shape your personal vision. So there are some things that where we want to go down the road as a church, and we need you to be part of it. We need it to be part of your vision. So the Bible says, as we began there, people perish without a vision. Let's get rid of the word vision if goals helps you better, right? Resolution, whatever you want to call it, all right? You just need to have these in your life. And how many know it's important to have faith? Because we read there, you know, Hebrews 11:1. I want to read from the Amplified. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And you know that the Amplified was written by a woman, right? That's why it's wordy. We'll look at the next translations, Holman. They're written by men. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for. The proof was not seen. Right to the point, right? Right to the point. Hey, hallelujah. My wife's not here, so I can get away with that. All right. So as we're kind of concluding here today, a church vision is the medium in which the Holy Spirit will do his work. If we're moving forward as a church, we need to have a vision. We need to be doing something. Agreed? Because God uses people. And if people don't do anything, why would God waste his resources on a church that's not doing anything? We have the story of the parables of the 10, the 5, and the two and the one, or whatever, different talent stories there. But how's the story go? The one who didn't do anything, what did he do? They gave it to the one who what? had the 10. And the people asked him, why? Because they'll use it. They'll do something with it. And so that's important for us here today. That's why a church vision is important, because if we're doing something, guess what? God's going to pour his resources out. He's going to give us everything we need to accomplish what he wants to do. So as we close here today, I just want to remind you that a little heartburn is good for the soul. What are we talking about here today? We're talking about putting some fuel on the fire to keep that fire constantly burning in your life. We need to have fire on that altar. So a good place to start in 2025 is set some priorities, set some goals, set some vision. I don't care what you call it. Most of us will not take the time to do this. Some of us will do some silly thing like I want to lose weight or I'm going to exercise. By the end of January, we'll never hear about it again. But you'll see the evidence in March. I won't wear my Speedo, but you'll notice I've lost weight. Hopefully. Amen. But in your heart, in your devotional time, write some things down. What do I want to see happen this year? It doesn't hurt to even go back over last year and see what the Lord's done in your life and through your life. That's probably a good place to start, because some things might have happened in your life, some good things. But we may go back and find that we didn't accomplish very much. And that can be very fearful. That can be very scary at times. But start where you're at. Repent. Amen. And start now. Start fresh as we're going into the new year. What's your devotional time like? Is it hit and miss? Is it non-existent? Is it stagnant? All right? As saints, we can become stagnant in our relationship, in our Bible reading. But we want to elevate prayer. One of the things that we want to start, Pastor Whitney, is next week, 15 minutes before the service. They're going to be done practicing. We had talked about it, but we really haven't enforced it. But starting in the new year, we're going to take the first 15 minutes before 10 o'clock. We're going to open up the altars. There's going to be music playing. We want you to gather for prayer. Come up front, get a prayer group, whatever. We want to begin to pray before our services that God's Spirit will move. And you may say, what's 5, 10 minutes? How many have ever had a prayer that God instantly answered? That you were going through something and you just cried out, Jesus, or whatever, and man, the answer was there. We want to give God that time. It doesn't sound like much, but we are going to begin, as we move forward, emphasizing prayer in our church. And so we're going to take that first 15 minutes. And for you that don't want to pray or coming in, you're going to have to just kind of change your... Amen. All right? Have to talk lower or whatever. Visit. But we're encouraging you. Come and pray. The altars are open. Pray with someone in your seats, whatever. We want to do that. But in your personal, what's your devotional time like? What's your Bible reading aspect like? You know, sometimes we go into this and we blow ourselves out and say, I'm going to pray and read my Bible for an hour. I'm going to tell you, most people can't pray and read their Bible for an hour. They just can't do it. How about start with 5 minutes? Read a chapter and pray for 5 minutes. What a good start. Baby steps, right? You got to crawl before you walk. And I want to encourage you. We talked about last year, if you remember, we talked about memorization. Even if you memorized one scripture a week, right? That's 52 scriptures. Yeah. I encourage you, do that. But the easiest thing to do in our devotional life is to do it throughout the day. Not just one block of time, got it over, check it off your box for the day, and go on. But Paul said, pray without, right? So why can't we do it throughout the day? Start in the morning, give him his time, and then go throughout the day communicating and praying. And worship, of course, it's an important aspect. You know, sometimes people complain they don't like the worship in our church, but I encourage you, most of you have a cell phone. You can download any song list you want, and you can play the style music you want all week long. How many know? You can do that. Any style you want. Amen. Time management. How many know most of us stink at time management? We're always doing something, taking up our time, making ourselves busy. But how many know that we have as much time as Elon Musk? He's a billionaire. And he doesn't waste a whole lot of his time. How many know that? You know why he's a billionaire? Because he knows what to do with his time. Not to say you'll be a millionaire, but it's time management. We need to. Some of us need to turn the TV off. Some of us need to turn the news off. Some of us need to give time to him. Some of us this year need to look after our health. Some of us need to eat. Some of us need to maybe walk a little bit. Do a little exercise. Eat right. And lastly, investment. I don't know where you're at in your life and how much time you have, but I believe all of us have time to do something for God. I really do. I believe all of us have time to serve God in some capacity or another. It could be in the church, it could be outside the church. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But all I want to encourage you to do is find a place to serve. Serve, serve, serve. Serve others. Some of us are so centered on self and our life, our things, our wants, our desires. Let's flip that around a little bit this year. What can you do? What can you do this year to help and serve somebody else, to better their life? And lastly, our giving, right? Time, talent, money, all that kind of stuff comes into being. I hate to inform you, you only have one life to live. And the truth is, at the end of that life, you're going to stand before Christ, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? We are accountable. We won't be accountable for the sin. The Bible says it's under the blood, it's forgiven, it's forgotten. But it says our works, as we read in that scripture, will be put through the fire to see what we actually accomplished. That's some scary thoughts. Father, we come to you today, and I just ask in your name to take seriously as we go through this beginning of this year to kind of evaluate ourselves, to evaluate where we are and evaluate where we're heading. Lord, we're all good at compromising at some things, but Lord, today we just come and we lay them at your feet. If you're here today and you haven't been exactly living up to maybe the standard that Christ desires of you, today, right now, as we're closing this is an awesome opportunity just to say, Lord, I want to go into this new year fresh. I want to go in with a new start. I want to go into this year with a new plan. I want to do something for you. I want to do something for the kingdom. Lord, we all have regrets at times, things we should have done or we thought we should have done. But Lord, I am grateful for the grace that you give us, that we don't have to live under condemnation, that we don't have to concentrate on our failures and the things we didn't do, because you said there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Today we put it under the blood. We put 2024 under the blood and say, Lord, I came up short in some areas. Forgive me. But be good to yourself here this morning, because there are a lot of good things you did this past year. So let's build on those good things. That's what Paul was saying. I don't build my life on the past. He said, I forget those accomplishments. I forget those, all those things that I did, even I did well. I forget them, and I press on. So today, I'm just asking you to press on. I'm asking you today to encourage you, put some fuel on the fire. I'm asking you to experience some heartburn. When those two men were walking down the road of Emmaus, Jesus was just pouring out in them scripture after scripture. He was telling them the fulfillment of the prophecies. And after he was gone, they realized, didn't our hearts burn within us? The truth will always do that to us. And if your heart hasn't burned for Christ, if you've come into the church week after week and your heart isn't burning, you need to find out why. You need to do the things you need to do. You know what your devotional life is. You know if you're obeying or disobeying. Today is just a day to start afresh. To start anew. This isn't a service of condemnation. This is a place of grace. This is a place of healing. This is a place of forgiveness. This is a place where Jesus wants to meet with you, that the Holy Spirit wants to meet with you. Holy Spirit, do your work in us. Lord, as we look forward to this new year, Lord, we're looking for some exciting things to happen. We're wanting to see lives changed, people filled, people delivered, people encouraged, people empowered, and people used for your glory. That is our vision. In a nutshell, that's our vision. Just take some time at this moment. Just do business with God this morning. The Holy Spirit is here. Whether you liked my sermon or not, it doesn't matter. But what matters is what the Spirit of God is saying to you in these last moments. Lord, we pray for healing. Bring healing. Wash us anew, fresh. Hallelujah, Jesus. We open up our hearts, Lord. We hold nothing back today. We surrender. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Lord, we pray today for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we want to walk with you this year. We want to be sensitive to your guidance. But Jesus, you said you are the baptizer, and we ask for a fresh baptism this year. We pray, Father, for a baptism of fire. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, where there's fire, there's smoke. Where there's fire, there's heat. Where there's fire, there's light. And Father, you've called us to be the light of the world. Lord, we want to go places and we want to see the evidence of the fire. There's no mistaking when a fire went through a place, Lord. And we want to look back that past year, next year, Lord, and look back and see all what the fire has consumed, what the fire did, what the fire accomplished. Hallelujah. Give us the fire, Lord. As you sent the fire into the tabernacle when it was freshly built, when you sent the fire on Mount Carmel, when you sent the fire when the temple was built, Lord, we ask that you would send the fire from heaven. You are a consuming fire. Consume us, every aspect of our life. Consume us, Lord. Let it be your prayer. Lord, consume me. Consume me, consume me. Burn up the dross. Burn up the impurities. Hallelujah. Give us the presence of the Holy Spirit, the fire. Hallelujah. Purify us. Guide us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, as we go and we continue to celebrate this holiday season, I pray that just your presence will go with us, Lord. Protect us, Lord. But Lord, also remind us of your ever-presence in our lives. Bless the families as they gather, friends as they gather, Lord. And Lord, we look forward to an awesome 2025. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.